Well, good morning, friends. Good to be with you on Good Morning Live. I hope you are having a good morning so far. I apologize for being a little bit late today. I have a friend with me here in the studio at the office today. Miss Loretta is home from school today. She wasn't feeling well. She doesn't have anything contagious, but wasn't feeling well. So she's coming into the church with Dad today, which is actually one of her favorite things to do. And so she's doing that today. But we also happen to have in the church a bunch of bikes that are put together for the egg hunt. And she has taken to believe that they are all for her and that we have all these bikes at Daddy's church for her to choose from. So I haven't broken the news on that situation yet, but she's been riding one of them around the sanctuary. So she's said she's testing it for the girl who's going to win it. So that's what she's doing. But so she's here with me today. We have our little dog Fern walking around here as well. And just because Loretta wanted Fern to come. So anyway, that's why I'm a little bit late getting on the live today, but we're still going to do it. So you want to go ride the bike or go play? All right. Here's your drink. Yeah. So anyway, right before when we start the live, good morning, Jen. Good morning, Cheryl. Good morning, Tracy. Good to see all you. Right before when we start the live, there's a little countdown that happens. And as soon as I hit go live, of course, she's like, Dad, I want my drink. So I'm like, all right, hurry up, hurry up. So anyway, here we are. Hopefully you are having a good Thursday morning. A little bit rainy out there today, but it's all right. It's all right. So I want to remind you this Saturday morning at 8 a.m., between 8 and 12, we're going to gather here at Hope City Church, and we are going to bag 1,500 bags of candy, clothes. I don't know. I think it's like 30,000 Easter eggs that need to be closed and all of that. So we're going to meet at 8 and it's going to go to 12. You do not have to be here the whole time. It would be great if you could be, but we're going to meet from 8 to 12. If you can come for 20 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, or all 4 hours, we would greatly appreciate it. We desperately do need the help going into this upcoming week where the egg hunt is next week. We just need a lot of help to bring all of those pieces together and make sure everything gets done. So if you're available this Saturday, anytime between 8 and 12, we would appreciate having your help here at Hope City Church. And if you did not hear the big news, we are starting a campus cohort of Valor Christian College right here at Hope City Church. Valor Christian College, the School of Revival, a phenomenal school. But what's incredible about this is because we are hosting a campus cohort right here, what is a campus cohort, if you're asking? It literally just means, good morning, Denise. Good morning, Berto. It literally just means you're an online student, but we gather here at the campus various times throughout the semester to study together, to read the word together, and kind of walk through this journey together. What's great about this is it's a school for people of all ages. So they have all kind of packages to help you get started and scholarships and so many courses that you can take. So we're right now building the webpage on our website to help you facilitate all of that and get signed up. So I don't say that to say, hey, just do it. I'm pressuring anybody to do it. Prayerfully consider, regardless of what age you are, Lord, is that something you'd have me do in this season? Expand my learning. I don't think we should ever stop learning or growing, but God, is that something you want me to do in this season? And if it is, there's a great opportunity. So consider that. And if the Lord leads you to do that, we would love to have you be a part of our campus cohort here at Hope City Church. Well, are you ready to talk about the blessing? This is the conclusion of our second week of talking about the blessing. And man, this has been such a powerful teaching and time together of opening the word and seeing what the blessing is and how we walk in it. So I'm going to review a little bit this morning just to give us a good foundation of what the blessing is, what it means for our life. And then I'm going to talk about fear. Fear and the blessing. And can they operate in the same life together? And what should our expectation be? So what is guarding your decisions? What is guarding your decisions? What is the factor when you are making decisions for Christ? Is it based out of, remember how yesterday we read about Abraham was fully persuaded, like he was 100% dialed in, sold in, fully persuaded that he would see the fulfillment of the promises of God in his life. So when we are making, you and I making decisions in our life, are we making decisions out of a heart and a spirit that says, I am fully persuaded. I am dialed in. I guarantee, I know that I will see the fulfillment of the promise of God in our lives. Or are we making decisions based out of fear of failure? Fear of failure. Fear of failure is a type of fear. It is the total opposite of what Abraham was, right? He was dialed in. But whatever we're looking at when we are making those decisions, whatever we're looking at as a factor, what's up, hon? You need to come with dad? All right. She's got that little TV bug. I think she likes it. So you could sit up here, okay? All right. So what is guiding our decisions when it comes to the making decisions in our life? Because it should be guided by the blessing, right? The blessing, if you remember, is the empowerment from God, simple definition, the empowerment from God to prosper in every area of life. I'm going to read that again. It's the empowerment from God to prosper in every area of life. So if there's an area of your life where you're not prospering, it might be that we need more of the blessing of God. But that's the blessing. What is fear? What is fear? Well, fear is a perverted form of faith. All right, so what is faith? Faith is knowing and seeing that God is going to do what it is he said he would do. Faith is a perverted form of that. Faith sees. Faith has action. It's just perverted, right? So it believes that the worst will happen. It believes that God isn't working to prosper you. It believes that God isn't involved in the affairs of your life. Like, man, there is all kind of reasons to fear. That's why the Bible says that in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear. Why? Because without God, man, you just scope our life in a general sense. There is reason to fear, right? But remember, because we know we are redeemed from the curse of the law, because we know that Christ died to redeem us from the curse and give us the blessing, we know we are redeemed from the curse. Therefore, we do not fear because we expect, what do we expect? The ground to produce. We expect that angels are sent on our behalf. We expect goodness and mercy chasing us from behind. We expect favor and blessing in our lives. Why? Because that's what Christ promised to give us. So you cannot walk in both fear and the blessing. They are opposed to each other. They are opposites to each other. Like Rod Parsley would say, they are diametrically opposed to each other. So the presence of fear signifies that there is the absence of the blessing. Now, I want to specify that because I think, you know, in different areas, we can all feel the feelings of fear, right? Like God might call you to step out and go back to college, right? He might call you to step out and start a business. And you're like, well, God, how's that going to work in my schedule? How am I going to pay for that? How am I going to do whatever it is that's on your plate to do? And there might be feelings of fear, which would say, I don't know how. right? So, but we overcome the feelings of fear by declaring faith, by declaring the promises of God, by declaring the goodness of God, and replacing every thought. So I don't remember who coined the phrase, but somebody coined the phrase that said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest, right? You can't necessarily stop a thought of fear coming into your life of, uh-oh, what if that doesn't work? Are you okay? You went down? You do? All right, go ahead. So you can't stop necessarily a thought of fear from coming into your mind, but what you can do is you can stop yourself from dwelling on that thought of fear, because what happens? When we dwell on a thought of fear, suddenly it begins to create a mental picture. We start picturing, yeah, what if this is that disease? What if this is a sickness? What if this is the end of my life? What if it doesn't work out and I go bankrupt? What if? And we literally visualize those pictures in our mind, in our brain, and we're creating a faith picture in the negative, right? We're creating a faith picture in the negative. So what do we got to do? So what I'm saying is, it's not that you won't have feelings of fear. Come on, anytime we step out or do anything for God, there might be feelings of fear attached to it, but we override those feelings and we declare the promises of God. We declare that we are the blessed of God, and we begin to expect the blessing to manifest in our lives. Amen. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, here's that terminology, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So get dialed in today to the blessing. Realize you are already blessed. It is a finished work, right? We understand, we said this before, but the blessing is spiritual. It works from the inside out. It's powerful. It's not limited by our environment. It's not limited by our economy. It's not limited by, what's going on around us or circumstance. Not at all. The blessing is outside of that. The blessing is sent from God. It works from the inside out. It overrides what's going on in the world around us, and it's redemptive. The blessing will restore what was lost. Again, as a reminder, we read in Galatians 3 that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham may come on us. Amen. So that's the root of the blessing. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us. Now remember what he has given us. He's given us the blessing. What has he not given us? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. One thing you need to know about fear is not just an emotion. There is the emotion of fear, but fear can actually be a spirit, a demonic spirit. A demonic spirit. Well, how do I know the difference if I have an emotion of fear or a spirit of fear? Well, I would say the biggest thing is whether or not it's tormenting, right? Like, I might be nervous to go to a meeting next week. There's that little bit of fear attached, right? Like, and I would expect that, you know, if it's a big meeting or something like that. But if I am having sleepless nights, if it's a overwhelming, predominant thought that's happening in my life, that it's literally tormenting me, then I'm going to say that's going to bypass the regular emotion of fear. And it can very well be a spirit of fear that is trying to torment you, right? But what's fear's assignment? Fear is sent to interrupt your harvest. I want you to ponder that for a minute. Fear is sent to interrupt your harvest. Fear's assignment is to block you from receiving what God has already marked as yours. He wants you to live in fear. You look at the Israelites, what he promised them, a land flowing with milk and honey, houses they didn't build, vineyards they didn't plant, cities they didn't build. All of that was going to be theirs, but they get out into the wilderness and suddenly they start to fear Did God bring us out here to die? These giants that, you know, they get the report of giants and they say, well, you know, these giants are bigger than us. We're going to fail. We're going to die. They moved into fear. And God said, because you've been in fear, because you've mumbled and you've allowed fear to cause you to mumble and complain, you will not walk into the promise because fear has blocked you at the door. Fear's assignment is to get you out of what God is trying to talk you into. That's right, Tanisha. Fear paralyzes you. It stops you. It stops you from moving forward. Fear will stop you from making decisions. I heard a really good message yesterday about making decisions. And sometimes, and this was more of a leadership type course or teaching, but he was talking about sometimes in a corporation or a business or a church, leaders just have to make decisions. And, you know, fear is one of those things that they talked about that will paralyze you. But sometimes the best thing you can do is simply make a decision. And even if it's the wrong decision, at least you've made a decision and you can walk out the decision. If it's wrong, we'll fix it as we go. But not doing anything is never the right solution. I thought that was so powerful because that's what fear stops us from doing. Well, what if? Again, I'm using this as an example. I'm not trying to do a sales pitch and pressure anybody. But what if I sign up for college and, you know, my life turns upside down? Or what if, you know, I go start the business and the economy? What if? So what do? We paralyze ourselves in fear and don't do anything. I've talked about this recently before, but I often, you know, in 2020, when we started Pioneer Television, hey, you know, it was in my heart since, I'm going to say 1995. I was young. I was in school. I will never forget the day my mom picked me up and we had just gotten a brand new 1996 Chevy Cavalier. And I remember the day because it was a 96. Six Cavalier, but it was 90. The year was still 95 because you know how you can get the model year towards the end of the year for the year upcoming. And we had never had a new car. And so to have a new car that it wasn't even that year yet was like big. So I remember the day that mom picked me up in that Chevy Cavalier, but somehow in the back of that car was a book. And I still have one of the books here, but it was from, Jim Baker's television ministry back in the 80s, and it was more of a picture book celebrating what God had done. And I remember opening that book and looking at what they had built as a result of, you know, what the mantle God had placed on their life and the people that they were able to reach. And, you know, at the time, my mom was pastoring a small little church in the town of Columbia, and I was fascinated with how many people that you could reach through television and tell people about Jesus. And from that day, it was something that was in my heart. Now, again, I was pretty young then, but I remember being 18, the day I turned 18, sitting on my front porch, reading a book about television. And I say all that to say is I ended up start pastoring when I was 19, and that was a call of God on my life as well. People always say, well, do you do TV or do you pastor a church? I do both. That's all a part of my call. It's all part of the assignment. It's not one or the other. It's both, right? It's all telling people about Jesus. But anyway, I started pastoring and then, you know, the church life kind of takes on a form of its own and there's the busyness. And I got so comfortable leading worship behind a piano or standing behind a pulpit that the thought of me standing behind a camera terrified me. And I thought to myself, man, I'm good at what I'm doing. I'll just keep doing that. And I was just actually talking to one of the Valor students on Sunday when they were here. He was like, oh man, that's so cool that you play the piano too. He said, I drum, but I've been meaning to take lessons. And I stopped them. I said, listen, take the piano lessons now. For years doing worship, I wanted to play guitar. Why? We would do missions trips and it's hard to carry a piano around with you, right? But you can carry a guitar easier. And I thought it'd give me more mobility on the stage and on the platform. And I did learn enough chords on the guitar to do one missions trip, but I didn't keep up with it and lost it right after that. But anyway, I say that to say is anytime I would start to take lessons on guitar, I would sign up for guitar lessons and it would get hard. It would go to that challenging, you know, you got to keep at it. I would fall back. Well, I already know piano. It's fine. And over the years, I have so regretted that. And I know I'm not too old to do that now, but I'm doing other stuff. But anyway, so I say that to say, and how many years did I waste not stepping out and learning guitar, not stepping out and doing television ministry when I knew it was a part of the call of God on my life? Like, just make a decision to step forward. And if there are feelings of fear, it's common, it's normal. Joyce Meyer teaches, do it afraid. Just do it anyway. Just step out and do it afraid. But do not adopt the spirit of fear that will paralyze you from making a decision. So that's why sometimes making any decision is better, because what are you doing? If you're paralyzed with fear, it's breaking that paralyzing spirit off of you. And it says, I'm moving forward. Somebody taught me years ago, actually, Angie Meisel used to tell me that it's easier to steer a moving car. That if I don't know which way to go, just at least start going. You'll end up somewhere, right? And I've always thought, you know, God is big enough that even if I am in the wrong direction, that if he knows my heart is trying to get in the right direction, like, God, I'm going to step out. And if this isn't you, here's what I pray. Lord, open a door that no man can close, or close a door that no man can open. But I'm moving forward in this, Father. And if this isn't of you, you have my permission. You know my heart. Stop me. Get me where I need to go. Put me in the right direction. Let me meet the right people. Whatever that looks like to me, Father. And God has always been faithful. But the worst thing you can do is to do nothing and allow fear to paralyze you. When you understand that you are blessed, you have a built-in GPS system. Remember what the scripture said, that goodness and mercy are chasing you from behind. And in blessing, I will bless you. Like, it's like whatever you're blessed in the field, you're blessed in the valley, wherever you put your hands to do is blessed. Like, you know, even if this is the wrong decision to step out in, God's going to bless it. And he's going to get me on the right path. Goodness and mercy are still going to follow me. That GPS is going to track me down. God's going to find out where I am and get me where I need to be and release the blessing of God onto my life. Amen. So do not allow fear to paralyze you. Do not allow fear to stop you. If you don't know which direction to go, and you've been praying and you've been fasting and you're just not getting clarity on it, then just make a decision and move forward. God is big enough to get you where you need to go. So fear is sent to interrupt the harvest on that God is wanting you to reap in your life. Fear works by influencing your imagination. We talked about that. Faith really is 90% what you're picturing, what you're expecting. That's what faith is. And fear uses that same principle and begins to create imagination and thought and mental pictures. What if it doesn't work? What if this is the failure? What if this is the end of me? What if this is a mistake? Well, glory to God, he's big enough to get you back where you need to be anyway. So just hold on and just step out, right? And do what he's called you to do. Fear is Satan's tool to disconnect you from the blessing. He realizes that if he can get you in fear, he can stop you from receiving the blessing of God. Even Job 3 says, "For the thing I greatly feared is come upon me." Fear opens the door to the enemy, just as faith opens the door to God. I've heard people say that, well, you know, the Bible says that Job was a righteous man and God just allowed all this stuff to happen. Absolutely not. The reason that Satan had an open door that God had to allow Satan to walk through is because Job said it right there, "For the thing which I greatly feared." Fear is the open door that allows the adversary access into your life to do whatever he wants to do. So Job, was putting his faith in that thing that he greatly feared. And guess what? It came upon him. So I am not willingly going to give the enemy a key and access into my life through fear. I won't do it. I'm refusing to do it. I'm just letting everybody know. I'm letting the devil know. I'm letting every adversary know. I am not going to do it. So what do I do when I feel fear? My coffee is still too hot to drink. I recognize it for what it is. It's not a little playground. It's not just an emotion. It can be a spirit that the enemy is trying to use to gain access into my life. So when I feel those feelings of fear, I step up and I resist it. And I remind myself, I walk in the blessing. I am blessed. Fear has no place in the life of a blessed person. Fear has no home in the life of a blessed person. Why? Because I expect things to work out in my benefit. Well, you say nothing bad's going to happen to you. Not what I'm saying at all. We live in a cursed world. But what I'm saying is, even when the curse comes knocking at the door, I'm responding and I'm answering the door just to say, hey, blessing lives here. And in blessing, he will bless me. So maybe my house might flood, right, in a storm. But I'm expecting God to turn it around for in my favor. I'm expecting to be exceedingly abundantly blessed, even in the midst of the flood. I'm expecting to have everything restored back unto me, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I am expecting to come out the other side of this better than when I walked into it. Why? Because I'm blessed. Because the blessing of God is on me, because it chases me down, because it pursues me, because goodness and mercy are following me from behind, because angels are sent out on my behalf on assignment to protect me, because I have a fiery hedge of protection around my life. That's why I expect if anyone's going to be healed, it's going to be me. If there's a 2% chance of survival, I'm the 2%. Why? Because that's what I expect. If you know, only a select few get side effects from whatever you got to take, that ain't you. Come on, because the blessing is working in your life. So you tell those side effects in the name of Jesus, you have no place because I'm blessed. And remember, as I talked about sozo and it being that salvation, that present progressive thing, how it's like literally, I don't know. I look at it as like what is that, like the power plant at like 3 Mile Island? It's that nuclear, like that nuclear power, like that green nuclear power on the inside that's radiant. That's how I see salvation, that it's in there and it's radiating and it's always working. It's emanating and it's producing. That's almost how I see the blessing on the inside of me, that it's like in there and it's just producing and it's working and it has like emanating rays and beams from me. And when things come into my life, like the blessing is that nuclear power on the inside of me that's producing what I need to get victory in this situation. So I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored of the Lord. That's what I am. So I expect good things in my life. I expect to be the exception. I expect things to go in my favor. But like as I said, Job 3:25, he said, "For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me." When I expect what I am fearing, whatever you expect is what you will get. Whatever you expect is what you will get. And listen, this 100% has to do with the spirit realm, but it also has to do in the natural and our mind well realm. Let me just give this to you real quick. If I am expecting, let's just say my marriage to not work out, we've gone through a rough patch where fighting, we're not talking. It's just, you know, there's so much hurt and hard feelings. And I'm walking around saying, I don't think we're going to make it. I don't think, you know, she has what it takes to work this out. They're not willing. They're never going to change. This is just how it's always been. This is a family generational thing for them. Do you see everything I just said? I am building a mental faith picture. So now, I am looking at that other person through the lens of everything I just said. This could be a spouse. This could be a boss. This could be a coworker. This could be a family member. Yep. No, they've always had anger problems. They're such an angry person. You know, they always this, they always that, blah, 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 fill in the blank. And now when I hear that person's name, I'm filtering them through what I have just said, what I, in my mind, am expecting them to be. But when I start changing what I'm expecting and I start saying, you know, let's be real. We've come through some stuff. Let's be real. There are some challenges here. But I believe that God can the heart of the king is in the Father's hands, that if God could turn Pharaoh's heart, he can turn that person's heart. I believe that, you know, if he can bring plagues on the Egyptians, right? I believe that he can heal my marriage. I believe that if he can part the Red Sea, I believe that if he can call Lazarus from the dead out of the tomb, if he can make dead things come back to life, then I believe that this relationship can be restored. I believe that there's hope and there's possibility. It might be hard work, but I believe that we can do this. I believe that they can change. I believe that I can change. I believe that dead things can come back to life. I believe that in their heart of hearts, they're a good person and that they want to serve God and that they love God and they don't mean to hurt. Do you understand? So now when I see that person or I think of that person, because I've what I'm expecting to happen, I'm now filtering how I see them. And the biggest thing I will see it change is now what they say and what they do is going to, I'm going to perceive it differently than I did before. Before I would perceive it as, see, right there. I knew it. They don't change. I knew it. But when I am looking and expecting blessing, and I'm looking and expecting God to bring restoration to my relationships, now I'm going to filter it through and I'm saying, you know what? They've never done that before. They took out the trash today. See? God's working, right? When we learn to look for blessing, we will find blessing. We taught this, you know, for years at Hope City Church. We call it Witness My Revival. Why? Because we believe that God is always at work. And when we look for it, we find it. There's a meme I saw the other day, some lady pulling up at a Chinese restaurant. She said, now, God, if you don't want me to go in there, then you make there be no parking space. And as she was pulling up, the car was pulling out and she started celebrating. She's like, won't he do it? Knowing that she probably shouldn't go in, you know, whatever. But I'm saying is sometimes you got to get down to the minute. Like, you know what? He opened up a good parking spot for me today. Thank you, God. I found $20 on the ground. Thank you, God. My kids are in a good mood today. Thank you, God. And when you start to look for the blessing of God in your home, in your life, you're going to find it. But what it's going to do is it's going to replace those thoughts of negativity, those thoughts of failure, those thoughts of fear. Going to erase that, and it's going to allow you to now start looking around and looking for the blessing, not looking for what I'm fearing, not looking for my past experiences, not looking for what the devil has said will always be, but now I'm looking around for the blessing of God. That's right, Haley, but God. I would have despaired unless I had believed. What did David say? I would have despaired unless I believed. What is he saying? I expected to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I would have quit and walked away if I did not expect to see the goodness of God in my life. What are you expecting today? Maybe fear has taken a root or a hold in your heart, and maybe that's where you've been. You've been paralyzed. You're struggling. You don't know which way to go, which way's up, which way's down. You know, you've vacillated back and forth between a decision and you're not sure. Come on, today you're going to make a decision and you're going to expect whatever that decision is, the blessing of God is going to be on it because you cannot allow fear. Tanisha said that. You cannot allow fear to paralyze you. You cannot allow it to stop you and to block you and to hold you back from what God wants to do in your life. We expect the blessing. So I want to pray that in Jesus' name. Father, I pray right now for every person who maybe today they can recognize that there has been an element of fear in their life. Maybe they've played it safe and they've held back and they haven't stepped out into what you've really called them to do because fear has stopped them. Or maybe those today, Father, who would say that they haven't made any decision because they're not sure what decision to make. And they've allowed fear to paralyze them. Oh, Lord, maybe there are those today who are watching and listening who says fear has been a tormenting factor in my life. Well, today, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we break the power of fear from tormenting us, from directing us, from paralyzing us, from stopping us, and from blocking us. In the name of Jesus, we silence the voice of fear and we refuse to listen to it. We refuse to acknowledge it, and we step out and step forward into the promise of God, and we expect to see the blessing of God in our life. And we commit today that we will listen to no other voice but the voice of our Father, which is the voice of blessing, speaking into our life and into our world, into the mighty name of Jesus. I refuse to fear. I refuse to fear in Jesus' name. Why fear when I'm already blessed? In Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen. Loretta, you want to come say bye? All right, well, come show them what you made. Come on. Daddy has to get off, so come on. She's over there playing with, I don't know, what is it called, Loretta? Slime. Not Play-Doh, but slime. I don't know if you have little ones, but in our house, that is the grand thing. Well, come say bye, Loretta. And yeah, so everybody's got slime. Judy just had her seventh birthday, my other daughter. Here, let's put this up here. And as you can see, here's her little slime plate that she's working with. Come on up. All right, all right, all right. Can you say you're blessed? No, you don't want to. All right. Well, it has been a blessing to be with you today and to hopefully break some fear off of your life and help you see that if God is for you, what did the Bible say? Then who or what can be against you? What can separate us from the love of God? Absolutely nothing can separate you from his love today. So thanks for being with me. Thank you for being with Loretta, huh? As she hangs out with Dad at the church office today and gets to do TV with me, all right? So thanks for being with us today. I love you. Hopefully I'll see you tomorrow right here on Good Morning Live. And hopefully I see you this weekend here at Hope City Church. Amen. Be blessed and have an amazing day in God.